Now let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. And this morning I'm going to read from Romans 3, beginning at verse 20 and reading through the end of the chapter. It seemed like I was in bondage to just reading through verse 26 for the last 2 months. The bondage, God willing, will be broken in a matter of moments here. So let's start at verse 20. This comes right at the tail end of Paul's demonstrating from the Word of God that all people who come into this world, Jews and Gentiles alike, everyone, all are sinners before God in our native state as we come into this world. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, their fall was our fall. And so we start verse 20. Therefore, because of our sinfulness, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. That is God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Amen. Well, let's once again ask for God's help as we come to His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We know that this is a great privilege that we have Your Word. We have it in our own language. And we can gather here unmolested by governing authorities to hear Your Word preached. Father, help us by our sin and carelessness not to squander such a great opportunity. Prevent the wicked one from being like a bird that snatches seed from the side of the road. And we ask that rather Your Spirit would so work as we hear and after we hear that we will all have hearts that will produce fruit 30, 60, and even 100-fold for the glory of Your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In my sermon last Lord's Day evening, I mentioned a baseball player. One of the ones I mentioned, I think, was Babe Ruth. He was the most prolific home run hitter in Major League Baseball history. There have been others who hit more home runs in their careers, but nobody hit more home runs per time at bat than Babe Ruth, to this day even. His career record for the number of home runs stood for almost 50 years. And the reason I bring him up today, though, was not for his prowess, but for a statement he once made. He said, if it's true, in other words, if something you're saying is actually true, if it's factual, he said, if it's true, it ain't boasting. I'll come back to that in a moment. But in our text today, Paul said, there's no boasting in religion. Period. Today, the passage we come to is verses 27 to 31, the last five verses of Romans chapter 3. We spent a lot of time in the previous six verses, verses 21 to 26. Today, we come to these last five verses, and in these five verses, Paul draws some conclusions about what we've seen already, we could say, in the whole book of Romans, and especially some conclusions from what he says about the gospel. The message of God in which the righteousness of God is revealed, as he says in verse 21. With the coming of Christ and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and with the preaching of the apostles going out to all the earth, the righteousness of God has been revealed. And Paul explains how that is and why that is and what some of the implications are in those six verses, verses 21 to 26. But now he draws some conclusions before we go on to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he's going to open up more fully the subject mentioned in verse 27 about boasting. But he starts out just with some conclusions, and we're going to approach it with just two headings, these verses. The first one is a practical conclusion, and that's in verse 27, the first verse. And the practical conclusion that Paul draws is, boasting is excluded. This gospel excludes all boasting. It starts out, well, it doesn't start out, it's actually the second word in Greek. In my English version, it's the third word. But it says, where is boasting then? And the then could be translated, therefore. And therefore, like people say, if there's a therefore, we ask, what is it therefore? And it's there because of the preceding statements Paul made about the gospel. He's talked about how the gospel is a gospel not of works, but of grace. Therefore, Paul asked this question, where is boasting? And he answers his question, it is excluded. So boasting is excluded. In other words, in light of the teaching of verses 21 to 26 of Romans 3, in other words, in light of the teaching that salvation is through faith, it's by grace, it's not by works. In other words, it's entirely the result of God's initiative, God deciding that he wanted to save people, God taking the action to save people, to do whatever it took, even the sacrificing of his own son. In light of the fact that it's all Christ's work, he's the one who was delivered up for us all, he's the one who laid down his life. You didn't do anything to save yourself. Christ did it all. In light of all of that, therefore, here's the practical conclusion. There's no boasting. Another baseball saying that's more modern and was related to a movie I never saw, but I've heard it. There's no crying in baseball. Well, there's no boasting in religion. Not in true religion, there's not. And that's Paul's point. Boasting is excluded. The word Paul uses tells us it's eliminated. It's ruled out. It is not an option. Boasting is excluded, he says. Now we'll go back to the statement of Babe Ruth. He said, if it's true, it ain't boasting. Well, that's not true. It's not lying. But there can be boasting without lying. In other words, maybe you actually did get all A's in your classes this year. So those would be facts if you told people about it. But you know what we call it if you constantly tell people that? That's right, we call it boasting. It's sinful, prideful, glorying in yourself. But here, whatever boasting would go on in religion, the Bible is telling us, here, that boasting is all untrue. No mere human being has anything to boast about in religion. Not his privileges, not his performances. Nothing. Based on the way God saves sinners, boasting is absolutely excluded. That's the practical teaching. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4 in the next passage that we'll come to in Romans. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. In other words, he doesn't have anything to boast about because we're talking about a relationship to God. And no sinner has anything to boast about as far as his relationship to God. Even if he's saved, he has nothing to boast about himself. Like Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, he will only boast in one thing. That's the cross of Jesus Christ, by which he was reconciled to God, by which the world is dead to him and he to the world. That's the only thing we boast about in true religion. And Paul speaks about here in verse 27, a law. He asks the question, by what law is boasting excluded? By the law of works? No, he says, but by the law of faith. What law does he mean here? When he talks about what law, he doesn't mean, is it by the Ten Commandments? He's not talking about the Old Testament in its entirety, that sometimes the Bible uses that as a law. He's not talking about what I said sometimes the word law refers to, like in Psalm 119. It could just refer to God's revelation of himself to us in his word. He's not talking about that. He's using the word law in a different way. He's using it kind of like when we use the word law of gravity. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're not talking about the Old Testament. We're not talking about federal law or state law or local law. We're talking about a principle. That's the way the word law is used. The law of gravity. It means a system or a principle. And that's how Paul is using it here. By what principle? On the basis of what principle is boasting excluded? The principle of law, that is, save yourself by your works? Or by the law, the system, the principle of faith, that is, you're only saved through faith? In other words, by doing nothing. Just standing back and crediting God's word as being true and receiving his salvation without working for it yourself. That's the question. And if you just want to see how that word is used even later in Romans that way, Romans 7:21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. He's not talking about the law of God. He's talking about a principle that is operative within him. And likewise, verse 23 of Romans 7. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. That's what he's talking about. So he's talking about a principle here, not the law of God. And so what Paul concludes is that with all this explanation here, where is boasting? Is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. He's saying his gospel. That's how he talked about in Romans 2:16. His doctrine, his teaching, we could say God's gospel, the gospel of the righteousness of God, it excludes all boasting. The Bible's doctrine of salvation by faith excludes boasting. The Bible's doctrine of justification by grace through faith excludes all boasting. When we ask, what is the gospel? The answer is, it's how sinners are saved. So if we ask the question, how can sinners be saved? Well, the answer is, only by God's grace. Only through God's work, not through our own. So who would ever think to boast about being saved, right? Who would ever boast about that? Well, the answer is anyone and everyone. Especially Jews would, if you just go back to Romans chapter 2, notice how Jews might boast about things relating to God and salvation. Paul says, writing to answer the objections of Jews to his gospel, he says, "Indeed, you are called a Jew and you rest on the law and make your boast in God, and you know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" And he goes on, verse 23, he says, "You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law?" Why did the Jew boast in God? And why did he boast in the law? He boasted in God's law because he thought he kept it very well, and that therefore he earned the blessing of God. And therefore he boasted in God, quote unquote, because he was such a great person that God loved him. And Paul was saying, you're all wrong. You're a sinner and you shouldn't do it that way. You shouldn't look at it that way. You shouldn't boast. You shouldn't be, he was saying, like the Pharisee that Jesus taught about in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18. You shouldn't be like that Pharisee who said, "I thank you, Lord, that I am not like other men," in other words, sinners. "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." That's boasting in the area of religion. And Paul says, if someone really understands the gospel, he doesn't do that. Boasting is excluded by the gospel. Paul talked in Philippians 3 about how he used to boast, right? "I used to say it this way, I'm a Jew, one of God's people. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the best of the tribes. And I'm a Pharisee." In other words, the elite religious people of the Jews. "And I'm blameless as far as the law is concerned, in your eyes, Paul." But he boasted, like a lot of Jews. He boasted as a typical Jew. But as I said, anyone might boast and everyone might boast. Not just Jews, but Gentiles. Anyone. Jew and Gentile alike. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. He thought there was a God in heaven. And he thought that part of the reason he was so powerful and blessed is that the God of heaven was so happy with him. And he especially thought he had so much power because he was so great. Such a great person. Who wouldn't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar? And God humbled him one day because he boasted. And God taught him better. Or think of Naaman the leper, who came to Israel to get himself healed from his leprosy. He knew where to go. He knew to go to God's prophet. He demonstrated a good deal of respect and deference to God's prophet. But it was pretty tough for him when God said through the prophet, "Now go wash yourself in the Jordan River." What? Me? In that muddy river? We have better rivers up in Syria. God humbled him. Anyone might boast in religion, like you and I. Romans 3 tells us who we really are in God's eyes, and yet we boast. We can read Romans 3, all of it, know that it applies to us, but still find ourselves boasting, even as Christians. We shouldn't. In our better times, we don't. And I hope you look at it this way, I know even when I do boast, like Paul, I do it when I know I shouldn't and when I would not. You look at it as evil and foolish and completely out of place. Why? Because the gospel eliminates all boasting. That's Paul's teaching here. If we rightly understand it, we will understand that we have all sinned, Romans 3:23, and fall short of the glory of God. That's our native state. Nothing to boast about there. And if we're saved, verse 24 says, it's only because we've been justified freely by God's grace, a free gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through His work, not mine. I could never save myself. The gospel eliminates boasting, all of it. But we're all tempted to do it. I mean, we could say that since the fall, we're all wired that way, aren't we? To boast. To boast in ourselves. To boast about ourselves. And about the Jews, we can say, because this is what Paul is teaching here, and this is what Paul demonstrated in his own life, there's a sense in which the Jews have also been trained that way. By their forefathers, by their predecessors. They were a stiff-necked people in the desert when they came to the land of Canaan. They remained stiff-necked and kept bowing down to idols and worshiping them throughout their history leading up to the captivity. And Paul learned how to be a Pharisee from whom? His Pharisee forefathers. There was all kinds of boasting in their religion. It wasn't a biblical religion. They couldn't blame it on the Old Testament. They couldn't blame it on God's law. They had to blame it on their proud hearts that thought they could use God's law as a ladder to climb in their own strength, in their own obedience to heaven. But the true gospel excludes all boasting. Just as we've already seen about the nature of faith, you have to believe in order to be saved. But remember what I said. The Bible teaches it's just an instrument, as we see here in verse 31. I meant verse 30. That the circumcised, that's Jews, are saved by faith. One preposition that can make the point that it's an instrument. And the uncircumcised through faith. I believe that Paul's saying here, we're saved the same way. If you're saved, you're saved by grace. If you're saved, you're saved by faith or through faith. Not on the basis of your works. How does that exclude boasting? Remember what we saw. Faith is just admitting, I have nothing to hold up to you, O God. I have an empty hand when I come. And then faith asks, therefore, O Lord, you fill my hand with the work of Christ. That's my righteousness. You fill it with blessings that are nothing but free gifts. No boasting involved there. John Calvin wrote this around 500 years ago. There is no point which is more keenly contested, none in which our adversaries are more inveterate, that is, they won't give up, in their opposition than that of justification, namely, as to whether we obtain it by faith or by works. On no account will they allow us to give Christ the honor of being called our righteousness unless their works come in at the same time for a share of the merit. Calvin nailed it when he talked about his Roman Catholic debaters and persecutors back in the 16th century. And he nailed it about every human heart as well. He said, there is no part of our doctrine which our opponents impugn with greater earnestness and obstinacy than this doctrine of free justification by grace through faith alone. Why would people go after that doctrine so strongly and with such great efforts? Answer, because it destroys human self-righteousness. And it destroys human self-sufficiency. And it destroys the idea of any human merit in salvation whatsoever. And it destroys human pride, which says, I am somebody. Most people's basic core doctrine. That was first true of Jesus when it comes to preaching the gospel, wasn't it? When he talked about the gospel, he spoke to the Jews in whom he called whitewashed tombs. People who thought very highly of themselves, tried to make them look like people who should be thought very highly of, and they thought very lowly of others. Sinners, they called them. They disparaged everybody else. They belittled them. And they were convinced, those Pharisees, that they didn't need anyone else to save them. They didn't need a doctor to heal them of their unrighteousness because they didn't think they had any. It was true of Paul when he preached the gospel of grace. We're told in chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, "For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to His glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say." And then he says, their condemnation is just. In other words, Paul was saying, there are a lot of people that when I preach the gospel to them, they don't like it. Why? Because I take away their ground for boasting. That's his point. There's always opposition to this gospel because it cuts sinners to the very heart. You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. You're entirely dependent on the work of Jesus Christ to save yourself, and you can't do a thing to add to it. That was true in the days of the Reformation. That was true in the days of Jesus and of Paul. It's true now. And so before I move on to verse 28, something that you need to hear, especially if you are not a Christian sitting here today. If you will ever be saved, if you will ever be the true friend of God, if you will ever be in glory, or what you might call heaven, after you die, with God in His kingdom forever and ever and ever, and if you will avoid the pains, the forever pains of death and hell, and the wrath of God crashing upon you, without relief, if you would do those things, you need to get over your far too favorable view of yourself. Because in true religion, there is no boasting. Your too high opinion of yourself, as it stands right now, is keeping you from listening to the gospel. As I say what I just said, if you don't believe it, you're saying, maybe you're even saying, he doesn't know me, how great I am. It's keeping you from humbly repenting of your sins, as the gospel says you must. It's keeping you from acknowledging even that you are a sinner. And it's keeping you from being saved from the coming wrath of God, as we saw in chapter 3, verse 25, speaks of Jesus Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by His blood. The message of Romans so far is that the wrath of God is coming against every sinner because of their sin, except because of the propitiation, Jesus Christ, on the basis of His work and His sacrifice for sin, you can actually be saved from the wrath of God, but only if you repent and believe in Jesus. That's what it says in the gospel. And so in light of all that, Isaiah said hundreds of years before Jesus came, through his prophet, the Lord said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. You have to be changed if you're going to be saved. And having a humble spirit, a contrite spirit that doesn't boast, that begins at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it begins with the acknowledgement that you are a sinner and therefore you are unable to save yourself. That's the gospel. Just look over the next epistle of Paul here, 1 Corinthians 1. I just want to read some of the latter verses of that gospel, of that chapter. It is the gospel. But Paul is writing to Christians. And since they're Christians, he knows he can use this language because they'll be comfortable with it. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." In other words, Paul knew that they would be okay with this language. They wouldn't take offense at it. They'd be comfortable with it. Because they're Christians. They're people who understand the true religion, and there's no boasting in that religion. So he says in verse 29, why is it that way? So that no flesh should glory in God's presence. No one should boast before God. No one should think he's all that, let alone say it like a Pharisee. That's the true gospel. And that's what Christians are like. And I'm not saying that everyone here who's a Christian, that we were all like that. We didn't boast before we were converted. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is part of our enlightenment. When God brought us to Himself, He showed us the truth of His Word, showed us the truth about Himself and His Son Jesus and His work, and showed us the truth about ourselves, that we are sinners and therefore worthy only in ourselves of the wrath of God and nothing better. God gives us grace to say what we sang earlier this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You may not realize that there are churches that still sing that hymn here in the 21st century, but they've changed a word. And you know what they changed it to? If you can't believe me, ask me and I'll demonstrate it to you. They saved it to this: amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. Why would anyone change those words? Well, because they don't like a religion that has no boasting. A true Christian says, "Who makes me to differ from another? What do I have that I did not receive? If I have anything good worth boasting about, it's from God. I credit Him, not me." Take the posture today of a sinful creature who needs grace, who needs the grace of God to be saved. And if you don't get it, you will never be saved. And go to God and just open your empty hand and say, "God, I have nothing in my hand to commend myself to You." And ask Him for the forgiveness of sins. Ask Him for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He will give it to you if you ask in truth, in sincerity, and in humility. He will give it. That's the first conclusion. It's a practical conclusion. Boasting is excluded. Next, and I need to look at my notes here and make a judgment. And I think my judgment will be, for your sake and mine, that I probably have another sermon left because it's four verses. And so I'm not going to rush through it. And I won't do that to myself or to you. So I'm going to leave it there. Brethren, there's no boasting in true religion. And so while God has us here in the book of Romans, let's determine that through all the rest of the book of Romans, and especially as we finish chapter 3 here, that gives us the gospel in the clearest light it comes in the Bible. Let's rejoice in the great salvation with which God has saved us through Jesus Christ. It is all of grace. We do have nothing to boast about. In our best moments, we would never do it. There's probably not a Christian here who would dare to stand in this pulpit and boast about himself in connection with his salvation. Thanks be to God for that. But let's rejoice in such a great salvation. And let's determine that we will prize the truths of the gospel that we've been hearing in these recent weeks, and that we will hold them fast, and we will contend for these truths for all our days, no matter how inveterate the opposition against them might be. No matter even if, like the reformers who went before us, someday we will be threatened with jail because of our doctrine, and even with worse things than that. And then, especially, brethren, let's determine that we will never boast. I mean, if you hit 700 home runs, go ahead and boast. And in your boasting, say, all because of the mercy of God I did it. But don't boast in religion. Don't boast in the sinful sense that Paul excludes here. But rather, in your Christian life, constantly increase in humility. Increase in humility because you increasingly grow in the knowledge of what Christ has done for you and the knowledge of what Christ is for you if you are a Christian man or a Christian woman. And that is, He is your all in all. And because we truly take these great gospel truths to heart. I'm going to say one more thing. I haven't taken too much time, but the one more thing. I had wanted to mention this, and I knew. I said to Pastor Carlson, I won't remember where I should put this, but it will go good here. It will go very well here. We learned today, children, that boasting is excluded by the gospel. That there is no boasting in religion, not in the true religion, not in the Christian faith. There's no boasting because the message of the gospel is that Jesus saves, and He saves everyone who is saved. The only ones who are saved are those saved by Jesus' work. And so no one is saved by his own work. That's why there's no boasting in Christianity. No boasting. And I mentioned earlier the illustration that some people still boast even when they talk about things that are facts. Like, I got all A's in science this year. I mean, that's a fact, but it's still boasting, especially when you're trying to make yourself look good. But some of us can actually get perfect scores in science tests, math exams, Bible quizzes, things like that. We can get perfect scores. Don't boast. Don't brag about it. Don't be proudful. But here's what it's like in Christianity. Here's what it's like in the effort, if you will, to be saved. It's like this. And this is the message of Romans 3 and Romans 2. If everybody could be given an exam, and if you got a perfect score on the exam, your reward would be that you're saved. All right? Say that there was an exam like that in religion. You know what everybody's score would be? It would be zero. And that's why there's no boasting in religion. There's no boasting in Christianity. Because your score and my score, and the score of... I'm sorry about that. No one is here is really like the Pharisee thought he was. I thank you, God, that I am so great and not like the rest of those sinners. There's no boasting, because in the effort to save one's self, everybody scores a perfect score. It's a perfect goose egg, a zero. May God help us to remember that, to lay hold of Christ, so then that we can rejoice even in that truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your word and ask that you would write it upon our hearts. Help us to believe it. Break into the hearts and minds of unbelievers here today who would still think that the way to be saved is to save oneself, that the way to glory is by being good, and that they really do, after all, have something to boast about. Bring the truth of the gospel home to their hearts with great power this morning, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.